Let's kneel for prayer then. Father, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We simply ask that you continue to work in our lives and help us in all the ways that we need help. We commit our soul into your watch care and ask that you go in and out among us and work with those people who have departed from your truth. We don't care if you bring them here or not, but we simply would like them to come back to Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we start a new chapter, chapter 55 in Desire of Ages, not with outward show. And there's only three verses. Bible texts that are coordinated with this chapter, so we might as well read them. It's Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 22. Luke 17, verses 20 through 22. Anybody need a little more time? Let's read this. It's just three verses here. Luke 17, verses 20 through 22. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, Lo here, or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The day will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it." Notice in that first verse, in verse 20, when Christ was talking, it says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees." Now, what was it that you suppose they asked him when he was demanded of the Pharisees? Pharisees who, what? Heathen, worse than dead, lukewarm Laodicean Pharisees. And if you don't know that, and if you're listening, you need to start studying the spirit of prophecy and realize history's repeating today. Today we have our own heathen Laodicean Pharisees, and they are vastly outnumbering anyone that even resembles a Christian Seventh-day Adventist. Historically then, what do Pharisees ask that reveals their personality and their character? When the kingdom of God should come. Why do they ask that? Because they think they're already. There's nothing they need to do. And God says in One Selected Message, page 357, or Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889, that they are Christless. Isn't that something? A people that are Christless, and they're so self-deceived that they think they're going to heaven, and the only thing they need to know is, when are you coming, Christ? Therefore, you'll see a lot of time-setting among Pharisees, trying to predict the day and hour of the second coming of Christ. Well, let's turn to our Desire of Ages and see what the spirit of prophecy has to comment on regarding these three verses. On page 506, then, we begin with paragraph number 1. Some of the Pharisees had come to Jesus demanding when the kingdom of God should come. More than 3 years had passed since John the Baptist gave the message that, like a trumpet call, had sounded through the land. "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," Matthew 3 and verse 2. And as yet, these Pharisees saw no indication of the establishment of the kingdom. Remember, they thought it was going to be what? An earthly kingdom, right? An earthly kingdom, and they were guaranteed passport through the gates of that city. They just wanted to know when it was going to happen. There isn't anything much different No, there isn't anything different at all, except for maybe the clothes. Between the Pharisees, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day or our day, there just is no difference. And that's why Christ gives us this book, so that we might know our antagonists on the battle of spirituality, on the field of battle of spirituality. Anybody who doesn't realize that heathen Laodiceans, even though they profess and boast and brag about being Seventh-day Adventists, if you can't tell the difference between one of Satan's heathen Laodiceans who's in open heathenism and a Christian Seventh-day Adventist, I guarantee you, you will not be in God's holy city. You'll be with those Laodiceans. And just take a look sometime in 7 Bible Commentary, 970, Column 1, Paragraph 7, or Letter 121, dated 1903, and you'll see that the great mass of the lukewarm are going to meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God, because they have not the seal of God upon their foreheads. Which means if you read the first paragraph or the second paragraph on that column, in that same column, since they don't have the seal of living God, they won't be gaining passport through the gates of God's holy city. What does that have to say about them keeping the Sabbath holy? Do you suppose that they're keeping the Sabbath holy if God isn't going to give them his seal? No, I'm afraid not. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16 tells us what they're about. And some will say, but Ezekiel was in the Old Testament. That's not for us. Nice heathen and Laodicean trick, but it won't work here. In Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16, God explains the history, the characteristic history of his people when they go into heathenism and they follow after the heathen round about them. And finally, they pollute his Sabbath with gods or idols. You know, gods and idols are the same exact thing. Some people don't know that. But a god with a small g equals an idol. It's the same thing. 1 Chronicles 16:26. And in the past Sabbaths, I've shown you then how they've been, and they still are. Today's heathen Laodiceans are still the same way. They're still polluting God's Sabbath with highly visible gods or idols, or literal, classical, highly visible idolatry. And I've explained this so much through half of this book, I don't think I'm going to take the time to list off the references again today. If you want to be in God's holy city, you better pick up some books and find them yourself. Because if you think you're just going to ride on in on the shirt tails of heathen Laodicean Pharisees, who were the very people, the very sect that murdered the Son of God, you've got another thing coming. So many people professing to be Seventh-day Adventists are going to meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God, because they're not God's Seventh-day Adventists at all. They're not Christian even. They're heathen, Laodiceans, Satan's people, masking themselves and boasting of being God's church, God's remnant, and God's people. What do we call Satan? The father of lies. Are we so surprised that his heathen people lie? They don't just lie to you or me. The people they lie to the most are themselves. They're tremendously self-deceived, and how do you wake them up? How do you get through that solid granite of pride that they have shrouded around them, that has given an offspring called self-exaltation? And oh, they love to boast. Take a look at 7 BC 963 and read there about what God says about them being spiritual novices. He also says that unless converted, they cannot be allowed to enter heaven because their unsanctified wisdom would mar heaven. Well, right away, that should beg the answer to any serious person that is planning on being in God's holy city to know the difference, to clearly and decidedly know the difference and then act on it between what God teaches is the characteristic traits of heathen Laodiceans in clear and decided distinction from his Christian Seventh-day Adventists. Remember Desire of Ages 258, it says history is repeating. Well, in the days of Christ, the true followers of Christ, in comparison with the Pharisees, were vastly outnumbered by the heathen Laodicean Pharisees. History is repeating. So it is today. Do you know or anything else that Christ could do to tell us how to get ready other than give us the Bible and the spirit of prophecy? We've got the spirit of prophecy that tells us that the Laodicean church is a Christless church. And yet we have leaders standing up before millions of people who claim to be Seventh-day Adventists. And the leader will say something like, "We are the Laodicean church, and we are the remnant church." Well, there's only two words for that. Supreme nonsense. Laodiceans are not God's people. Wake up! Go to Four Testimonies, page 86, paragraph 2, and read through page 87, paragraph 2. Page 87, paragraph 2, you'll see, and if you notice the date when it was written in 1876, and you notice there that God gives the definition of what lukewarm means, and all Laodiceans are lukewarm. I hope we don't have to quibble about that. And you know what the definition of lukewarm is? Oh, I know some will say, it's hot and cold, and then somebody else will say, it's neither hot nor cold, and then somebody else will say, it's a mixture of the two. You're all wrong. Thus saith the Lord, lukewarm means aiding the enemy, aiding Satan. Read it for yourself. Four Testimonies, page 87, paragraph 2, written in 1876. And God said then, of our professed church, that the greater part of the people going to that church were lukewarm professors, aiding the enemy. Some 5-6 generations ago, friends, and if you aren't studying and you haven't figured it out, it isn't getting any better. And God has predicted it isn't going to get any better until He comes. But that heathen church of the Laodiceans that dates all the way back to here in Desire of Ages when we're reading about them, historically are responsible for the murder of the Son of God. And God the Father will most assuredly avenge the death of His Son. Which camp do you want to be in? I guarantee you now, if you're going to a conference church in good and regular standing, you are in heathen Laodiceanism and as lost as anyone you can think of in Babylon. Oh, no, you're not Babylon. No. Do not misconstrue and do not falsify my words. I said, you are as lost as them. According to Sister White, the Testimony of Jesus in Signs of the Times, May 27th, 1903, if you read there and study the principle of God's justice, you'll figure out that Laodiceans are far worse than Babylonians. And that's Satan's trick, isn't it? He's got all his heathen Laodiceans in one heathen ditch alongside the narrow way, and he's getting them to point fingers at the people on the other side of the road, on the other side of the narrow way, in the other heathen ditch, the Babylonians. And the heathen Laodiceans are saying, come over here and join us. Friends, if you do that, if you leave a Babylonian church to go to a Laodicean church, you just went into a worse situation than you came from. And the reason that you may have never heard this before is because you're in the heathen church of the Laodiceans and they don't teach it. How about reading it for yourself? Because I guarantee you, if you rely upon those ministers in the conference, all the way to the general conference president, and all the theologians in those I never can get past that. Ever since being there, I've always said cemetery instead of seminary. If you rely on those people to lead you to the gates of God's holy city, you're going to be meeting with bitter disappointment when you arrive at the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone instead. So go right ahead. Keep right on relying upon them. Millions just like you did before in the days of Christ, they followed their heathen Laodicean Pharisaical leaders who told them, we're it. Stay with us and you're going to heaven. Heard that before? How could people be so blind? Let's continue on in our Desire of Ages. It says there, quote, the days will come, he said, turning to his disciples, when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it, because it is not attended by worldly pomp. You are in danger of failing to discern the glory of my mission. You do not realize how great is your present privilege in having among you, though veiled in humanity, him who is the life and light of men. The days will come when you will look back with longing upon the opportunities you now enjoy to walk and talk with the Son of God. Because of their selfishness and earthliness, even the disciples of Jesus could not comprehend the spiritual glory which he sought to reveal unto them. It was not until after Christ's ascension to his Father and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the believers that the disciples fully appreciated the Savior's character and mission. After they had received the baptism of the Spirit, they began to realize that they had been in the very presence of the Lord of glory. As the sayings of Christ was brought to their remembrance, their minds were opened to comprehend the prophecies and to understand the miracles which he had wrought. The wonders of his life passed before them, and they were as men awakened from a dream. They realized that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1 verse 14. Christ had actually come from God to a sinful world to save the fallen sons and daughters of Adam. The disciples now realized the disciples now seemed to themselves of much less importance than before they realized this. They never wearied of rehearsing his words and works. His lessons, which they had but dimly understood, now came to them as a fresh revelation. The scriptures became to them a new book. As the disciples searched the prophecies that testified of Christ, they were brought into fellowship with the deity and learned of him who had ascended to heaven to complete the work he had begun on earth. They recognized the fact that in him dwelt knowledge which no human being, unaided by divine agency, could comprehend. They needed the help of him whom kings, prophets, and righteous men had foretold. With amazement, they read and reread the prophetic delineations of his character and work. How dimly they had comprehended the prophetic scriptures. How slow they had been in taking in the great truths which testified of Christ. Looking upon him in his humiliation, as he walked a man among men, they had not understood the mystery of his incarnation, the dual character of his nature. Notice that simple sentence there, and yet so many heathen Laodiceans today want to deceive the Christian Seventh-day Adventist regarding the character of Christ. It's so clear, as is all of the Word of God. Do you know, Satan's heathen people, they don't have much more than lies and falsehoods. So we wonder sometimes, why are you doing that? Well, that's all they have, friends. And their worst deception is a mixture of truth and error. In these last days, 99 parts truth and one part error. That cherished error will result in the loss of your eternal life. And Laodiceans are so full of error that it would take a month, maybe longer, just to list it all. And some say, oh, poo-poo, we don't understand that way at all. You're not reading the Spirit of Prophecy or the Bible for yourself. What you're doing is studying the Sabbath School Quarterly, which is simply chewed out pablum, worthless stuff, in the long run, if you count being in the lake of fire and brimstone with the other heathen Laodiceans. Worthless. I would say that's a pretty much a worthless endeavor for you to continue to support Satan's church. And if you don't understand that the conference church today of false witnessing, falsely professing Christian when they're heathen, and Seventh-day Adventists when they're Laodiceans, if you don't think that belonging to and supporting that church is belonging to and supporting the synagogue of Satan, you haven't studied anything. What's the main reason you can detect the synagogue of Satan? Somebody. You're going to heaven. You got to know the difference between God's church and the synagogue of Satan. Well, you don't know about this because the conference doesn't teach it, do they? They carefully avoid this subject. Revelations 3:9 gives you all the information you need. The synagogue of Satan claim to be Jews, but they are not the people of God. They do lie. In other words, today, in application of Revelations 3:9, those heathen Laodiceans who are constantly claiming to be the people of God, they are not the people of God, they do lie. Heathen Laodiceans are not the people of God, they're Satan's people. Christ writes about their lying elsewhere in 7 Bible Commentary 962, column 2, paragraph 1. Simply says there that many are Laodiceans living in spiritual self-deception. Then if you read a little further down, it says their whole life being a lie. Now then, if you just add those two quotations together, and you have the reasoning God speaks about when he says, let us reason together, you cannot but fail. You cannot but fail if you stay in that conference church. Because that conference church is being controlled by Laodiceans today, and they do lie, and that makes them the synagogue of Satan. Satan's church, as it says in Testimonies to Ministers, page 16, paragraph 2. And God calls upon us to make clear and decided distinctions in these last days between Satan's church, the synagogue of Satan, in its heathenism, with its two primary ranks, the deceptive, openly idolatrous, and openly Sunday-keeping heathen Babylonians, and the far more deceptive, far more guilty, openly idolatrous, Sabbath-polluting, and heathen Laodiceans. Oh, it's so sad, but it isn't going to change. As much as you talk about it, and as much as you try to wake people up, and as much as you try to get them to understand they're on the wrong side, they just won't listen. Self-exaltation has blinded their eyes, as God has predicted. They are bewitched by the enemy. The only thing that'll set them free from that is the Word of God and prayer. And it helps tremendously if the victim of Satan and his influence upon them, even possession of them, it helps tremendously if people understand which side is which. Today we have people calling Laodiceans Christians, and they're not, they're heathens. According to the Word of God, they're heathens. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899. Simple, right there, crystal clear. Why does the conference ever talk about this? Because they're the heathen Laodiceans, my friends. Just as the heathen Laodicean Pharisees controlled the vast amount of people in the days of Christ, the exact same thing is going on today, with this exception. The people are more guilty today than those in the days of Christ who went into heathen Laodiceanism. The people are more guilty today. And why is that? Because they've been given greater knowledge, the spirit of prophecy, which they either hate, or they lie and say they believe it. Nobody could believe in the spirit of prophecy and still be supporting Satan's openly heathen church of the Laodiceans. It is one of Satan's two heathen churches on this earth. The heathen church of the Laodiceans, far more dangerous working from within, far more guilty in sin than the heathen Babylonians. The heathen Laodiceans promoting their false Sabbath, and that false Sabbath, oh, they go to church on the seventh day, but they pollute it with God's idols, just as God described in Ezekiel's day, Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. Now let's finish the paragraph. It says there, quote, "But after they were illuminated by the Holy Spirit, how they longed to meet him again and to place themselves at his feet. How they wished they might come to him and have him explain the scriptures which they could not comprehend. How attentively would they listen to his words." What had Christ meant when he said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now"? John 16 and verse 12. How eager they were to know it all. They grieved that their faith had been so feeble, that their ideas had been so wide of the mark, that they had so failed of comprehending the reality. Notice, they had so failed of comprehending the reality. What were they in if it wasn't reality? They were in the direct opposite of reality, which is delusion. Strong satanic delusion. That's what they were in. And so it is today. History is repeating. Next week we'll continue on in Desire of Ages, page 508, in the second paragraph. God couldn't make the instructions of what he wanted of his people that will eventually be in his holy city any clearer. And he's made it very clear, the vast distinction between Satan's heathen Laodicean people that virtually control the conference today. There's no question, and absolutely no question. If you've studied heathenism, you should see it. It's falling out of the conference doors and windows. You should see their heathenism. If you don't know what heathenism is according to the Word of God, you won't see it. And I can guarantee you, the subject will not be in the Sabbath School Quarterly or in any of their other publications or from their microphones on the Sabbath day in their synagogue of Satan. Now, you have two primary synagogues of Satan today. You have the deceptive Babylonian church. Well, that's a synagogue of Satan because it's heathen. And you have the even more deceptive Laodicean church, which is also heathen. There are the two heathen churches, primary heathen churches on the face of earth today. The only hope for Christian Seventh-day Adventists is to follow God's command, "Come out from among them, my people." If you don't do that, you will not be in God's holy city. And if you don't know that, it's time somebody told you, and time somebody said, you need to start studying. Go to 7 Bible Commentary 962. That's the Laodicean message right there. Just read it in column 2 over to page 970, column 1. Just read that much and ask yourself if you want to be fellowshipping, encouraging, and in every way supporting Satan's heathen Laodiceans. Next week we'll continue on in Desire of Ages, page 508, in the second paragraph. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit in our life, that we do as the song, the hymn we just sang, reminded us, that we should return to Christ. We should return to him early. That means we need the Holy Spirit to help us. And we know that if we ask for this, and it depends upon our salvation, that the God of heaven in his loving kindness will do everything possible to make sure you and I are in God's holy city. I think you're ready for me to ask him that then. Lord, help us to be ready, that we may know and act upon clear and decided distinctions between Christian Seventh-day Adventists, heathen Laodiceans, and heathen Babylonians. What we're really saying, Lord, to sum it all up is, we give you full permission to work in our life, to do whatever is necessary, that we might be in your holy city. We ask this prayer of salvation, knowing that it has already answered, that heaven is going to do as much as they possibly can for us. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us by your lesson books to prepare ourselves to make the right choices. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to thank you, everybody, for coming to worship today and your fellowship, your hymns, your testimonies. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We'll see you again next Sabbath. Bye now.